The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman, but still no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, He told me everything I have done. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Lord, you are truly the Savior of the world. Give me living water that I may never thirst again. The gospel acclamation verse we sing before the proclamation of the good news often highlights the core of the message God is speaking to us. The proper gospel verse for today's Mass is, "Lord, you are truly the Savior of the world. Give me living water that I may never thirst again." We long for life-giving water to refresh our souls. We are like the Israelites in our first reading from Exodus, who complained to God because of the misery of their desert experience. The Father, in his patient love for his beloved children, miraculously provides them with water to drink from a rock. Jesus is the rock, and from his side, struck with a lance, blood and water flowed out in generous waves of mercy. His blood became for us our thanksgiving drink. His water became the life-giving waters of regeneration in the sacrament of baptism. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, which we just heard in our second reading, said, "Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Through baptism, we receive an outpouring of the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Yet the loving Father is not satisfied to give us the amazing gift of spiritual adoption. He also desires to strengthen us in the Holy Spirit through the sacrament of confirmation, pouring into our hearts the love of God. This love of God within us then impels us on a mission to invite others to the saving waters, thus increasing God's family here on earth. Today, on the third Sunday of Lent, as we continue our spiritual preparation for the Paschal mystery, we celebrate the first of the scrutinies. The scrutinies are for the benefit of our elect who are preparing to receive the sacraments of initiation. They have the double purpose of revealing first what is weak, sick, and sinful in our hearts so that those areas of our hearts can be healed. And second, to reveal what is honorable and holy within us in order to strengthen those places of our heart that has already accepted the love of God. The scrutinies are ordered toward liberation from sin and the devil, and they give strength in Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. How appropriate it is, then, for us to meditate on the encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman from the gospel we just heard proclaimed. In our gospel, our Savior is weary from traveling and stops to rest beside Jacob's well. The Samaritan woman, ostracized from her village community, arrives to draw water in the hottest part of the day when there will be no other people drawing water from the well. Listen again to the first words we hear our Lord speak in this gospel passage. He says, "Give me a drink." The Savior of the world is thirsty. He is weary from his travels and desires something to drink. There's a deeper meaning here than physical thirst. Recall the similar words that Jesus spoke from the cross as he was enduring unimaginable suffering. He pulled his torturous body up on the cross in order to cry, "I thirst." My Jesus, why is it that the Lord of my heart thirsts so? How can I offer the Lord of the universe something to drink you who created the waters and separated the dry land from the oceans, how is it that you can ask for a drink of water? With those simple phrases, give me a drink and I thirst, Jesus is expressing the profound depths of his yearning to save souls. Jesus aches to be close to you. His sacred heart is burning from his intense desire to be loved by you. The Samaritan woman does not yet know who is talking to her or what the simple expression, give me a drink, really means. Confused, she states, how can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? She does not realize that Jesus is asking for her heart, for her love. Jesus gently begins to reveal himself to her. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. How great is our yearning for living water. As St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee, O Lord. Or like the psalmist who knew the depths of his need for God, Psalm 42 beautifully says, as the deer longs for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When can I enter and see the face of God? Imagine the condition of this Samaritan woman, whose miserable state in life is the result of her heart's intense longing for rest. Our hearts can echo her own journey. Listen to the testimony of the Samaritan woman. Her experience parallels our own. My heart was impossibly restless. My heart ached to find rest. It sought rest in the passing pleasures of this world, but it did not find rest. I sought love in the pleasurable company of men, but instead of joy, my heart was bruised and broken. I found a slave driver who demanded my heart work hard to eke out every last drop of joy that could be had in this world. Even the good things in life lost their luster. Still my heart ached. I became cynical, wounded by the world. I rejected it and everyone in it. Yet still I worked. Every day I refilled my jar with water, tired, and I found no relief. Her wounded heart is not yet open to Jesus when he tells her to ask for living water. She replies, sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? How many times do we experience hope that this new product we bought, or this new gym membership, or this new job, or this new medical therapy will bring me the healing and consolation I long for? Like the Samaritan, we sometimes respond to the love of Jesus questioning, can you really satisfy me? Jesus knows your heart. He knows your past. He knows you. And he loves you. He thirsts for you. He is the Savior of the world. As St. Paul said in our second reading, God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The crucifixion is not a hopeless symbol of the ultimate end, nor is it a symbol of condemnation. The crucifixion is our triumph and hope. The crucifixion is the ultimate symbol of God's radical love for us. As we prepare our hearts to celebrate the Paschal mystery at the end of the Lenten season, let us turn to our Savior at this Mass and ask him, Lord, I acclaim you as the rock of my salvation. Give me living water. Let me be with you. Amen.